delicious. It's so tasty. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Drink
talking about eggnog here on this Saturday morning. It's the first Saturday of the month, so we cover something that's available or close to being available or in harvest through our Arizona Farm Bureau and our local farmers and ranchers. But in addition to the eggnog this week, y'all just had your annual conference. This is the first one I've missed in 3 or 4 years. Always a great event. And
thank you.
Something in particular was, what's this taste of Arizona?
This is brand new. It was something that was just the brainchild of the team. And we said we need to do a taste of Arizona. And what was so cool, we tapped into all of our members, Dan Zeis and Dairy. So they provided some of the beverages. Barbara Predmore is on our board, and she does wine. So she provided the wine. And it was one of those events where we tapped into the talent and the giftings of our members and what they grow. We had Green Valley pecans.
Jay Harper was at that festival this year. Says it's phenomenal and we need to be there next week. So
yeah, Charlotte Mortimer with Mortimer Family Farms up north in Dewey. So it just was this natural evolution of some of the things we did. And the question we said to each other on our team, there's about 13 on our staff, is, why haven't we done this before? So our plan is that we're going to be doing that on an annual basis. And it's basically the reception before the big awards event for a lot of our members, where we recognize the Farmer of the Year, or our Service to Ag person, and some of the other award winners. But we come together and we have this great festival, so to speak. Not festival, but
every ingredient in these items have to be Arizona-based?
Pretty much. And with most of this, this is going to be pretty easy to do it because, you know, Barbara Predmore's wine, Alcantara Vineyards up north, you know, those, the wine grapes she's growing and then she's producing, she's bottling, she's producing the wine, her winemaker is. And you've got Green Valley pecans. Well, that family, they've been here for more than 2 or 3 generations. They actually have the largest irrigated pecan farm in the country. And so that's a natural evolution. And then, of course, we've got Dan Zeis and Dairies. So it was a pretty neat experience.
Well, I'll bring it to the board. If they can make an exception for one ingredient, I would start bringing boudin. Because as far as I know, rice, we can't find anywhere to grow that in Arizona with the water requirements.
We can make exception there because our buddies in Texas and some of the other states, it's a Farm Bureau state like all the states in the union. And so we can say, hey.
If I could just have my cousin send me the rice. I know you can get me connected with
Louisiana
pork growers here and the rest of the vegetables I need to make a nice boudin.
I would love that.
To the flavor. That's the one thing
Let's do it. Is
missing locally made is some good old boudin.
Yeah. We should have been doing this a long time ago. There's some out there with some of their events and festivals that are way ahead of us on this game. But you know what? When our members come together and we decide we want to eat, we eat well. And we celebrate really well. Barbara gave us an entire, I want to say she gave us a case and a half. And there was nothing left except half of one bottle. Now, granted,
it's a big group. Farm Bureau is a big group.
There were about 300 of us, but it just cracked me up. I was convinced I'd have a little bit left over. So if Barbara is listening, I actually need a little bit more wine for an event in February for our blogger event. We draw in some influencer bloggers and take them on tours of the farms, and we send them home with a bottle of wine.
Am I on that list? As an influencer?
I will include. Your mother was a couple of years ago.
Get me on that list too while you're at it.
I may not be a blogger now, but I will be by then. Let's bring it back around to the Dan Zeis and Dairy. Y'all have built out a little community center right there at your, what do you call it, a milking station, a milking site?
Our creamery.
Our creamery.
Yeah, it's our creamery. I like to say creamery because it's all old fashioned. But we have a. We hold events on Saturdays. Sometimes we have food trucks. And, you know, back when we first built it out, my mom and dad kind of wanted to run a restaurant. And I thought, that sounds good to you, but who's going to have to run it?
So
we came with another idea. Just, hey, you know what? Let's get a little room together. And HOAs and other types of groups use it for meeting. Actually, Farm Bureau uses it. Yeah, they use it once a month for meetings but then the local community can use it for other things too. And on Saturdays what we do is we bring food trucks in, and then in the summertime they got a nice air conditioned room space to eat their food, and we try to support local food vendors and stuff like that. And then we also have people that like home baked goods. You can look them up on Facebook. The company's called Bake Chemistry, and she makes the most fantastic cinnamon rolls that will just, it's amazing. It goes real good with a nice cold glass of milk. She comes in and she makes orders to go, and she's been really successful. And so we love doing that kind of stuff at our place. So it's worked out real good. And the new freeway is coming in right next to it, like 300 yards to the west. And so we're looking at making it maybe even a little bigger, building it out a little bit. We're making some plans to do some fun stuff. You know, one thing that we're looking at doing is, when I grew up on the dairy, I loved playing in the cottonseed, a pile of cottonseed, right? And then I could play in that for hours on and make forts. And we're thinking about just putting a big old pile of cottonseed and letting kids come and play in it, because that was some of the good memories I had out on the dairy when I was a kid.
Dan Zeisen has done a really good job of staying end-to-end, staying local, because your dairy is not far from the urban area. Another thing I want to brag on this family is they and two other dairies have, what is it called, diversified organics, and you're composting your manure and selling that to some of our farmers. But they're going through a very sophisticated composting program. I was given the tour just a couple of weeks ago, and I was so impressed.
Has it changed since you took me on that tour about 3 years ago?
Hasn't changed a whole lot. Darren was there when you went last, and he's a really, really good operator over there. He knows what he's doing. We're coming up with some new products there, too. You know, I always say, when you fly into Arizona and you look at the color of our dirt, and especially if you fly from the Midwest, you see that black dirt from the Midwest, and you fly in and it gets lighter and lighter. And as you come into Phoenix, it's really light, and basically what we're making out there is black good dirt soil out of the product. So instead of you know, looking at the manure as a product that we need to get rid of, we're trying to make a commodity out of it and making something that's useful for not only our farmers but also for overseeding when the rye grass in the fall time. So it works. It's really good product.
I have not overseeded this year yet, but to keep my commitment, this will be now the third overseeding I've used and covered it with y'all's
compost.
Diversified
organics. Diversified organics.
Compost. It's a group of three dairies that y'all all bring, you know, the manure from the dairies, and you compost them and turn it into these usable soils. And I can't tell you how many times I've used it since you said it. And I guess that was May, about the usefulness of a cow from one end or the other.
From one end to the other. And Darren does a really scientific job. I mean, they are monitoring every one of those windrows.
Yes.
That's what you call it. And they've got the temperature gauges in there, and they have different stages. I was impressed. This is... You're knee-deep in a lot of really good stuff over there.
The cool part about it is, you know, at the end of the process, there's no flies on those piles at all.
No, that's the other thing.
The process really works. Basically, the way he describes it is makes a lot of sense to me, real simple, is we're composting it above. When you just apply it to ground before it's composted, it needs a compost in the ground before it's available to the plant. We're doing that process above ground so that when we put it on the ground, it's available to the plant right away. And if you pull it out, just when you're done, when it's done composting, it just looks like Midwest soil, and it almost smells like dirt after it's done.
And I told that to him, like the final stages before it's delivered to a customer, it doesn't smell like manure. It smells like compost. It
smells like dirt.
Dirt, yeah. Good earthy dirt.
Yeah, my dad likes to say that all the time, from one end or the other.
And it's a great statement. It's one of those that just stick in your mind, and it's true. And in addition to topsoil, are there other uses for this compost? I mean, you can use it for every application that you could use for composting.
Yeah, a lot of people use it for their flowers and stuff in the springtime, especially. That's a big use in the springtime with new plants or flower beds. But yeah, like I said, the big thing for homeowners is for overseeding in the fall. It just works fantastic, way better than synthetic or other types, because it also loosens up the soil and it retains the water. So you don't have to use as much water throughout the whole year when you use that for for reseeding.
And it just enhances year over year when you continue to use that in reseeding.
That's right. It replenishes the soil.
What's the distribution for this product? Is it Danhuysen duty? Is it Danhuysen?
Yeah, we don't have huge. We just have a small bagger at the creamery store here in Levine. But you know, it will be easier to get there once that freeway's done. We will look at getting bigger distribution on that product. We just haven't. We've been focused on the glass bottle milk. Mm-hmm.
Well, and as the demand for the milk increases, that increases the need for additional cows, and additional cows will produce additional product.
That's
and
right.
You'll need to enhance your distribution to move it.
Yeah. No, it's a real fun industry. You know, one cool thing about what we've been able to do with the glass bottles and everything, I tell us all the time, back when we're just on the farm selling products, or just selling the milk to the co-op and big truckloads every day, I didn't get to meet the people that I get to meet now. And that's one of the real blessings that our family get. My mom, if you go to the creamery store on a Saturday afternoon, my mom and dad are usually in there talking to people about dairy and what we do and what Arizona
so
Ag
cool.
is all about. And
good people.
Yeah, they are. They're getting smarter, though. They get in a motorhome sometimes and get out of here when it's 110 degrees. So you got to
leave you behind.
But that's my spiel. I really do really appreciate all the people in Phoenix that I've been able to meet and get to know.
How many workers do you have to make that eggnog and all the other milk?
So right now we actually we employ about 15 on the farm. And I think there's 40 in the creamery and with truck drivers and all that kind of stuff.
Does that include the cows?
No. Oh. We have about 1,500 cows. And yeah.
And you also still provide milk to UDA, our co-op, the United Dairymen. So what's it? Can I ask what the percentage split between what goes to the creamery and actually coming out your special flavored milk?
Yeah, right now it's only about 25% goes to our creamer. UDA has been a big partner of ours. Really, that's a group of all the other dairy farmers in the state, and they take the other 75%, and it gets used to make cheese, whatever.
And we want to give them props because they are really. It's really a neat co-op. It's comprised of all of our dairy farmers here in Arizona. So that's another way to look at how local our milk is.
Yeah, most milk in the store is really like the store brands and all that. That's all from Arizona farms for right. the most part. I mean, some of the organic stuff is all out of state. Besides
with
Shamrock,
the exception of Shamrock,
Shamrock's
right.
organic, but most of the other specialty product that you see on the shelf is all mostly from out of state. But ours is considered specialty, so we'll be the specialty local.
Final segment with the Arizona Farm Bureau and Danhuysen Dairy right after this.